From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
When I came on board, which was only this semester, it was made clear to me that they wanted to take advantage of the kind of experiences that I've had in public school education. So we are actively involved now as far as a project that we call the University / Public School Collaboration. In other words, how can the university use its staff, its faculty, and its resources to work with the students in the public schools to see about making them more successful when they get into higher education. I'm also very, very concerned with all areas of diversity. In other words, we'd like to see about getting more people of color to come in as students and faculty and also staff. Not only are we interested in getting them to come here through our recruitment efforts, but once they get here, we want to come up with how can we retain them. So recruitment and retention of students, recruitment and retention of faculty and staff, those are high priorities as far as my job description here at the university.
The late Dr. James L. Hill, Senior Vice President and Special Assistant to the President at the University of Texas at Austin. In 1993, Hill became the university's first African-American Vice President, serving under four presidents. As the first African-American Vice President at UT Austin, Hill provided excellent leadership, supervision, and general management to a number of offices and programs, including Hall Foundation for Mental Health, University Interscholastic League, Neighborhood Longhorns, and Community and School Relations, just to name a few. When Hill graduated from O. Anderson High School in Austin, Texas as salutatorian, he could not attend the University of Texas. It was not yet integrated. Instead, in 1953, he graduated from Houston Tillerson University with a bachelor's degree in education. There, he built a relationship that would prove beneficial to the university during his tenure. On September 2, 2012, Hill died from prostate cancer. He was 84. I'm John L. Hanson, Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, Dr. James L. Hill, the University of Texas at Austin, first African-American vice president in Black America.
I've helped him to identify about 25 of the African-American leaders that we have in the community. I called them together. We met personally with the president and Vice President Sharp. And then we also called in our president of the Student Association, who happens to be an African-American student. Yeah, Eric Bradley. He was in on the meeting. And we also called in Terry Wilson, who has done this study relative to the perceptions of African-Americans toward the University of Texas. We had a very lengthy meeting. And then we called them in because we wanted to listen. We wanted to listen to see the real issues that we should be addressing here at the university, so as we could get more students in and more faculty in. And as a result of that meeting, we have established three different groups. One is called a group for the recruitment, retention, and graduation of African American students, and that's a very powerful group. And then we have a second group that actually deals with the recruitment and retention of the faculty and staff. The third deals with what we call the relationships of UT to the community at large.
Dr. James L. Hill facilitated UT's relationship with schools, school systems, and state agencies, and oversaw community relations with various constituents and neighbors of the university. Also, he provided invaluable leadership in promoting a diverse student body and in strengthening the university's relationship with minorities and neighboring communities. Born on August 21, 1928 in East Austin, Texas, Hill was the fourth of seven children. After graduating high school, he enlisted into the Navy. With the assistance of the GI Bill, he attended Houston Tillerson College, now Houston Tillerson University, earning a bachelor's degree in education in 1953. He later would earn a master's in educational psychology and a PhD in educational administration at UT Austin. Prior to joining UT Austin in 1993, Hill was a math teacher, high school counselor, a band director with the Abilene School District, deputy commissioner with the Texas Education Agency, and director of the Southwest Field Office of Educational Testing Services. In 1994, In Black America spoke with Hill when he was then associate vice president for administration and public affairs.
Let's say that when I was coming up, John, it was just taken for granted that we'd all go to school. Now, we didn't know how we were going to school, but we just took for granted that we were going to school. And it just so happens that my mother and father, neither one of them went to college, but all of my sisters and brothers, they before me, they went to college at Houston-Tillerson College, and it was just more or less assumed that I would go. And that's something that I set as a goal, and that's something that I accomplished.
Before your current position here at the University of Texas, you was former director of the Southwest Field Office for the Educational Testing Service. Could you tell us about that agency and what did that particular position entail?
Okay, most people think of it as ETS.
Okay.
ETS is, of course, the largest testing company that we have in the world. Take a look at your instruments like the SAT, College Board Test, that everybody's going to have to take to get into college. We publish things like the Graduate Record Examination that you have to take to get into grad school. We publish things like the Law School Admissions Test, the Medical School Admissions Test. And all of these tests are developed right in Princeton, New Jersey. And I was hired by Princeton to be the Southwest Regional Director for ETS. And I was directly responsible for a five-state area, Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. So basically, that was my responsibility at ETS.
Do you find any validity to the conversation that deals with some biases on these tests? And we know the test does not accurately measure what a student can do once he or she gets to college.
I'm glad you asked me that, because when I was with ETS, this was a constant fight. Mm-hmm. Simply because if I take a look at the test data, I was always very, very concerned with the low scores being made by minorities, in particular African Americans. I worked with top management in Princeton, New Jersey to see that we could do everything possible to minimize the bias in tests. Now notice, John, I didn't say eliminate the bias, I said minimize the bias. And that's what we did in Princeton. By calling in some of the outstanding black educators that we had them to look at every test item that we had on the test. And if we felt like the test item was unfair to a particular group of students, especially African-American students, we threw it out. But I'm not saying that we completely eliminated it. I say we did everything we could to minimize it, and that's the state of it right now. As far as test results would be concerned, at ETS, we tried to make it clear to never use a single score to judge a person's future. We recommend combining that score and putting it into a portfolio would actually give you a better description of what a person has done and what a particular person could possibly do in the future. So I would be a component of that area. If you'd ask me, should you use the results of tests, I say yes, you can use them, but be careful how you use the results so it's not going to be detrimental to certain groups of students.
You also was Deputy Commissioner for the Texas Education Agency. Could you tell us about that experience?
Okay, TEA, that's what it's commonly called in the state. And TEA is directly responsible for the education program for all the elementary and secondary schools that we have in the state. We had about 1,100 school districts in the state. We're talking about 3 million youngsters in school from grades K through 12. And we were talking about an annual budget at that time of pretty close to $9 billion a year. I went into TEA as a division director, and I was promoted to associate commissioner. And when I left, I was the deputy commissioner for the State Department of Education in charge of administration. That was my role.
Having gone through the educational system here in Austin and also being involved on a national level with education, has the processes in which we educate our young people changed over the years of somewhat been adjusted to reflect the different societal changes that we've gone through?
Not near enough. Okay, let's say that we are trying to make changes, but I guess being one of the educators that has worked at all different levels, I still don't feel that the curriculum, the educational program, would actually be reflected what the needs of all students would be. And if I had to isolate any one single factor which contributed most to this, I'd say it would have to be the family. It would have to be parental support. Now, John, you know when we were going to school, now that wasn't a problem, you know, because the teachers could always depend on our parents at home to back them up. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of worked together as far as the schools, the church, and the schools. Everybody worked together as far as trying to accomplish the goals. But I don't see that today. I don't see that. I just don't see the support coming from the family that I would like to see, especially in the African-American community. It's just not there.
We all want to live in an inclusive society. Do you see desegregation as being not the total problem, but one of the root causes for the disintegration of African-Americans within this educational system?
I've given that a lot of thought too, you know, because each year, I guess every 3 years here in Austin, we have what we call a kind of a reunion of the old Anderson grads. We come back and we take a look at the education program back then and before the integration, and then of course we're taking a look at it now. And of course, many things happened, you know, as far as integration that gave many of our African Americans more opportunities than they've ever had before. The opportunities are there. But I see some things missing that we have in the kind of segregated type school system. In other words, the environment was very, very small, and we had teachers who really cared, simply because these were African American teachers who were working with practically all African American students. And they knew how to work with these particular students, and they knew the kind of support system that the students need to be successful. I remember seeing youngsters coming back there then. You know, if you label them today, you would say that they would be in special education. They are slow learners. We just didn't have that. We didn't have any special education. We had a total class of 20 or 25 students. And somehow or another, those same slow learners, which would be labeled as special ed today, they came through. And if I look at them today, they have been very, very successful in life.
What are your duties and responsibilities in your current position as Associate Vice President?
When I came on board, which was only this semester, it was made clear to me that they wanted to take advantage of the kind of experiences that I've had in public school education. Okay, so we are actively involved now as far as a project that we call the University/Public School Collaboration. In other words, how can the university use its staff, its faculty, and its resources to work with the students in the public schools to see about making them more successful when they get into higher education? I'm also very, very concerned with all areas of diversity. In other words, we'd like to see about getting more people of color to come in as students and faculty and also staff. Not only are we interested in getting them to come here through our recruitment efforts, but once they get here, we want to come up with how can we retain them. So recruitment and retention of students, recruitment and retention of faculty and staff, those are high priorities as far as my job description here at the university.
UT, by no stretch of the imagination, is one of the top universities in the country. It hasn't held that particular designation within the African-American community, particularly here in the state of Texas. How will you in your position try to ease or somewhat smooth those vestiges that are somewhat lingering from a lot of African-American adults who still harbor resentment from the University of Texas at Austin for the simple fact they weren't allowed to attend, and if they did attend, they were somewhat segregated and really not felt welcome here at UT Austin?
Well, let me tell you something that I've recently done here at the university. First of all, let me agree with you 100%. The resentment in the African American community concerning UT is real. All you'd have to do is go out there and talk to the leadership in the African American community, and they'll tell you what's going on at other institutions, But they refuse to send their kids here because they think that the University of Texas is still like the University of Texas that they attended. Now, I would be the first to say that we still have problems here on campus. We still have racism here on campus. There are many barriers here on the campus, which actually serve as a, well, it's kind of a gatekeeper as far as not allowing the students to actually achieve their successes. But one of the things that I've done in working with President Birdall, because I firmly believe that he is committed to bring about some very, very positive changes, I've helped him to identify about 25 of the African-American leaders that we have in the community. I called them together. We met personally with the president and Vice President Shaw, and then we also called in our president of the Student Association, who happens to be an African-American student. Yeah, Eric Bradley, he was in on the meeting. And we also called in Terry Wilson, who has done this study relative to the perceptions of African-Americans toward the University of Texas. We had a very lengthy meeting. And then we called them in because we wanted to listen. We wanted to listen to see what the real issues that we should be addressing here at the university, so as we could get more students in and more faculty in. And as a result of that meeting, we have established three different groups. One is called a group for the recruitment, retention, and graduation of African American students, and that's a very powerful group. And then we have a second group that actually deals with the recruitment and retention of the faculty and staff. The third deals with what we call the relationships of UT to the community at large. And the fourth one is another very important area. It's called Hubs. It deals with the historically underutilized businesses as far as the UT doing businesses with minorities and women-owned firms. We feel if we can address those four issues through the various task forces that we've identified, then we can come up with some recommendations. We can come up with some issues that we need to be confronted with here at the UT and bring about some changes.
Have you found that the faculty members here at UT are comfortable in coming to you and expressing the concerns which they have within the departments in which they are employed?
Are you talking about the African-American faculty members Yes. that we have? Let me tell you what we did in this particular case, too. A couple of months ago, we put on a reception at the Ex-Students Association for all of the African-American faculty and staff, administrative staff that we have here. And at that particular meeting, we had Bill Cunningham, who is the chancellor of the UT system. We had President Birdall was there at the meeting. I invited Representative Wilhelmina Delco to come over and say a few words to them. And I also, we also had Reverend Zan Holmes. I guess you know Reverend Holmes. He's the first African-American appointed by any governor to the Board of Regents here at the university. So what I'm saying is we wanted all of the African-American faculty to know that, first of all, we're glad that you're here, and we want you to know that you have support not only of the University of Texas here in Austin, but also the system and also the community that we're living in.
How will UT address itself in the coming decade of the changes in population, which also will dictate the changes in the student population here at UT, and by the sheer numbers itself will force the university to truly become multicultural in its administrative staff and also in the education of its students?
That's an issue that we are going to have to face whether we want to or not. And that's the rapidly changing demographics that we have in the state. And of course, it all depends on which set of data that you'll be looking at. But it is generally, agreed that by the year 2010, you will find that the minorities will definitely be in the majority as far as the state of Texas. So this means that institutions like the University of Texas, we are going to have to train those minorities that's going to be the majority and make sure that they have all of these support systems and skills that they need to be successful, not only here at the University of Texas and other institutions, of higher education, but in all areas of endeavor, the business field out there, they're very concerned with this. Who's going to take over as your presidents? You know, your marketing people, they're at those, you know, those particular entities. So yes, we are very aware of the changing demographics, and we're doing everything we possibly can to make those changes.
Looking at the reality of the small numbers of PhD candidates, master's degree holders, how will UT compete in that limited pool of African Americans who have those postgraduate degrees?
That's very, very difficult, because I just finished talking with Dr. Sheila Walker about that a few minutes ago. As you know, Dr. Walker is our director of the African and African American Studies Program. And we were just trying to explore how can we get these few numbers of PhDs that we have to come to the University of Texas. And you know, the market is very, very competitive out there. You know, Harvard's out there giving them the world, Yale's out there giving everybody, you know, everybody's trying to get them. So what we are doing in all of the publications that we can, publications like issues, Black said in higher education. Mm-hmm. And of course, what we're doing, we're taking out ads, and then we want everybody to see that we at the University of Texas are very interested in African Americans coming to the university. We're taking out ads in the black newspapers that we have, not only in the state, but also at the national level, and let them know, hey, this university that we have in Austin, Texas, we are very interested in you. And we're going to do everything we possibly can as far as creating some additional chairs so as we can be competitive as far as salaries are concerned to get the best that we can. We also taken advantage of some of our staff, African-American staff that we have now, and we are meeting with them and see how they can assist us in going out and identifying and selling those students on the University of Texas.
On the side of academia, are there any particular departments, particularly for students in their discipline, that you would like to see more African Americans or minorities in general become more a part of that department and that discipline and on the undergraduate side?
I guess all of them. The reason I say that, John, is because, like I say, we're not proud of our numbers, and when you take a look at the total student population that we have, you know, we are African Americans right at 4%. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a long ways from being representative of the total population that we have. So when I came on board, I had an opportunity to go by and visit personally with each one of the deans. Okay. Each one of the deans, I sat down, I talked to them. I wanted to know them, and I wanted them to know me. And I asked them to please share with me what you are doing in liberal arts, natural sciences, music, you name it, mm-hmm. in order to get more African-American students here at the university. And I must say that some are doing a better job than others. I won't say, you know, who those are at this particular time, but to answer your question, I can't identify any one area that I think we need to improve in. I'd say we'd have to improve across the board.
Are there any timetables set for certain accomplishments and achievements in different areas, student retention, graduation, recruitment, faculty appointments, et cetera?
Yeah, actually, this is done at the Coordinating Board for Higher Education. They develop what we call a state plan. And then the state plan includes all institutions of higher education that we have in the state. And I must admit that the goals are very, very optimistic, but it gives us some targets to shoot at. So I guess you can say that the state plan would be the one that we'll be looking at here at UT. And it was only approved by the coordinating board about a month and a half or 2 months ago. So we'll be looking at it and developing our own plan here at the university.
This past year, September, there's been an increase in the grade point average in which students must obtain while in high school to attend UT Austin. Do you see that having an effect on you all's effort in recruiting African Americans and other minority students to UT?
Yeah, we thought about this when we came up with the increased requirements and we're taking a look at test scores. We are requiring a higher grade point average now. And we feel that that's going to have a direct effect as far as the minorities are concerned. Now, just how much, we just don't know. But I will say this, that President Birdall is quite aware of this. And he's appointed a group here at the university to look at this. And included in this particular group, who's meeting with him on a weekly basis to kind of monitor these numbers relative to the numbers of students that we have who have actually applied to the university and who had been admitted. And we have the Director of Admissions, you know, Shirley Bendis, she's involved in that. I'm personally involved in that. Dr. Ricardo Romo, you probably know Dr. Romo, he's a vice provost here at the university. And we have a couple other people from the Department of the Admissions. But what I'm saying is we know that the increased standards are going to have a negative effect as far as all students will be concerned. But I want to make sure that we do everything we possibly can to say that we're not closing the door on the African-American students that we have.
Being successful in your two previous positions, why at this juncture did you want to come to UT Austin in your current position?
I guess a lot of people ask me that same question. And I guess it's a challenge to me to come back to my alma mater. Just don't forget that I received a couple of degrees here. And so I'm very, very aware of the excellent educational program that's here. And I'm going to do everything that I can humanly possibly do, John, to identify as many of these African-American students as I can. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to kind of open that gate to see that they get in. Once they get here, I'm going to do everything I can to keep them here. And then I'm going to feel real proud on the day of graduation when I go to the commencement exercise and I can see some of those youngsters. So I guess you can say that's a kind of a self-fulfilling type thing that I'm looking at right now. And it's a real challenge and it's a chance for me to help a lot of students.
The late Dr. James L. Hill, Senior Vice President and Special Assistant to the President at the University of Texas at Austin. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to your future in Black America programs, email us at jhanson, H-A-N-S-O-N, at kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at kut.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm John L. Hanson, Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.